United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this beautiful Sunday morning. I went out to get a bulletin, and I did everything but get a bulletin. So does anybody have a bulletin I could borrow? It's usually up here, but... Thank you, Norley. All right. Few announcements. We're supposed to be doing communion today, but we're not going to. We're going to postpone it till next Sunday because none of us in charge of communion knows where the disposable cups got put. So that's why I didn't get a bulletin. So we will do communion next Sunday. So I apologize for that. We do have Bible study Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Oh, look, Nancy found them. Okay, now we're going to do communion. So Nancy will pass out your communion cups while I give the announcements. We like to keep it professional around here, and you know. So announcements: we have Bible study at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night at Terry and Nora Lee's house, and everybody is invited to come. We're in the general epistles right now, and we are in 1 Peter. So you're invited to come to that. And I told y'all, but for those of you who may not have been here, we had about 87 kids show up for Trunk or Treat. So that was a good turnout, and we were very thankful. So thank you for everybody who participated, everybody who gave money and candy and those kinds of things. Other than that, I don't know of any announcements that are going on. Nancy's coming around to pass out communion things. So while she continues to do that, we will begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. The pictures that you see here are, of course, of various veterans that are represented by the families here. And we would just like to thank all of our veterans for their service, as well as family members of veterans, because as anyone who has been in the military knows, the families serve as well through their prayers and through various moves and worries and things such as that. So we appreciate that. A few people that weren't mentioned on there that I just want to mention in my own life are both of my grandfathers served. My mother's father was a Marine in World War II in the Pacific Theater. My father's father was in the Navy. He joined right after World War II. He still talks as if he took on Hitler single-handedly, but he served. He joined in 45 right at the end. And then I have two uncles that were both in the Air Force. Lynette's dad was in the Navy. And I believe that's all that's in my family. So anyone else that wasn't mentioned, it wasn't because we didn't want to honor them, though. It was just because we didn't know. So, but we appreciate everyone's service, especially Dave's, because let's be honest, that picture was you know, that was a good picture, Dave. So at this time, let us sing our first hymn, number 539, Spirit of the Living God. And it looks like we're going to sing the first and last verse. Stand as you're able, please. Thank you. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed traditional version. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I got one prayer request before service. Nancy's granddaughter was diagnosed with COVID, and she no longer tests positive for it, which is a good thing, but she's still dealing with some of the after effects. And did you say it's been 6 weeks, Nancy? So 6 weeks of dealing with the consequences one way or the other. So we want to keep her in our prayers. And Mary Ann is, I think she finally tested negative, didn't she? Is that what? Okay.
But it was down last night, so.
Okay. So is she still in the process of trying to get moved to the new facility?
Except the old facility doesn't
know. Yeah. Okay. So, so don't tell anybody at the old facility. But yeah, so Mary Ann is doing okay, I guess. She's doing much better than we thought that she would be, but she is definitely fighting, and I know that the family would appreciate your prayers, especially not just Mary Ann, but Laura and Alan both would appreciate your prayers, I know.
Continue to remember Alan because he's struggling.
Yeah, which I can't imagine. So, but I think I may have told y'all last week, my mom and stepdad are better. They don't have any more symptoms of COVID or anything like that. So they have overcome. But I asked y'all to pray for her friend Glenda and Glenda's husband Roger. And Roger passed away from COVID in the hospital down there. So if you will keep them in your prayers, I know that Glenda especially would appreciate it. So... and then, let me think. Linda, who goes over to Chevront, her daughter passed away. I guess it's her daughter. I still haven't figured out the relationship, but the mother of her granddaughter is, I would think that would be your daughter or daughter-in-law, but Linda never refers to her as anything other than JC's mother, so I don't know. But nevertheless, she passed away, and it was kind of sudden. They did an autopsy, but they're waiting on the results. But they had kind of a last-minute funeral service this past week. So just remember them in your prayers, if you will. The good news was that she was pregnant, and they were able to save the baby, from what I understand. So so that's good news. But just please be with, please keep the family in your prayers, if you will, during this difficult time. And of course, we want to pray for what's going on with the presidential election and everything, and for our country, and that they would finish counting all the rest of the votes, because I don't think they've determined who all has won the House and the Senate. They hadn't, last time I checked, that was yesterday evening. So, but nevertheless, as we are commanded to do in Scripture, we should always pray for all of our leaders, the ones we like and the ones we don't like. So, especially the ones we don't like, actually. Jesus says, I mean, yeah, you like the people that you like. What good is that? You're supposed to love the people that are unlovable. So, it's one of the difficulties of being a Christian, but we are reminded that God loved us when we were unlovable too. And so that's part of our calling as Christians. Thus ended the sermon. See you later. No, I'm just kidding. Does anyone else have any requests that they would like to share? Yes, Dave.
Ask for prayers for my mother-in-law, Wanda Faulkner.
Okay. Okay. Does anyone else? Yes, Keith.
I got a cousin who's part of Lewis Copeland, who failed back in Labor Day and broke his ankle, and when they released him from the hospital, I had surgery on the end.
Sounds like it. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, that's, yeah. We'll keep the family in our prayers. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Georgia. Okay. And speaking of Pat's, Pat, whose last name totally went out of my brain.
Brown,
there you go. Boy, the most common name in the world, except for Smith. Pat Brown had surgery, not last week, but the week before, I believe it was. And the surgery went well, but she was okay at first, but then whatever pain medication they put her on wasn't working very well. So she's in a lot of pain, and they're trying to get that figured out. She says she's kind of regretting getting it done, but I imagine that's just because the healing part hurts a lot. I know that she will be very thankful for it once she's healed, but the healing part is difficult. And also, keep Wanda in your prayers. She's been having some trouble with her knee, and we all know Wanda is stubborn, but she's actually finally decided she needs to get something done for her knee, and the hospital's holding her up. So they're supposed to make the appointment. They haven't made the appointment. She called to make the appointment. They said, well, we'll contact you to make the appointment. And so anyway, pray for Wanda because she's in a lot of pain. You can tell when you see her that she's kind of limping along, and she's also frustrated. And of course, keep Larry and Arville and Alice and the whole family in your prayers. I haven't heard anything new from them other than Alice came through surgery. And that I believe she's back home. So, but just keep them in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Liliana has one. What is it, sweetheart? Oh, Liliana can do a half push-up. There you go, everybody. Liliana can do a half push-up. Thank you for sharing, sweetheart. Oh, what?
My grandparents.
Okay. Clayton's grandparents, remind me what's, or do I know? Do I know what's going on with your grandparents?
Okay.
Clayton's grandparents are ill, so please keep them in your prayers. And I feel like you told me about it, but. Okay, well then, see? I just didn't know. So Clayton's grandparents are ill, and he's asked that we pray for them. So please keep his grandparents in your prayers. All right. Well, if no one has any other requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we have many prayer requests today, requests for healing from various people, healing from injuries and falls, healing from sickness, healing from COVID. Lord, we also have prayers for comfort and strength for people who have lost loved ones, either through the virus or other ways. And we pray that you would be with all those who have lost loved ones during this especially difficult time. May you be with all of the doctors and the nurses and the treatment teams and the scientists who are dealing with not just this virus, but just with the everyday sickness that we experience in our fallen world. Lord, we thank you. Veterans Day is coming up, and so we thank you for our veterans. We thank you for their willingness to serve. Lord, for those that have been lost, whether through war or through age or even through the effects of war. Lord, we pray that you would be with their families. Lord, we also ask that you would be with our country. May you be with all that's going on, with transitions, with new presidents, with old presidents. There's still legal challenges ahead and things such as that. But Lord, may you constantly remind us that whoever is the leader of our country, you are our King. You always have been, you always will be. May we be reminded of that every day. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We invite your spirit to dwell amongst us. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see. Let's go down to our next hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. And are we singing, let's see, first and last verse it looks like. As you're able to, please stand. Thank you. You may be seated. I just remembered one other prayer request I just wanted to tell you about. The Kamikawas had both tested positive for COVID, and Paul actually wound up having to go to the hospital to get treatments, but they were able to give him some breathing treatments, and he's, from what I understand, he's doing better. He was doing pretty poorly, but that's the reason that they haven't been here for a little bit, because they've been dealing with that. Last I heard, Jordan didn't have it, which I'm sure he's thankful for that, and I'm sure they're thankful for that. So, having technical difficulties up here, I apologize. But just keep them in your prayers, if you will. At this time, we want to say a prayer over our tithes and offerings, and just as a reminder, we have a basket at this door and a basket at the back door there that you can put your tithes and offerings in. You can also give online. There's a link on our Facebook page. And you can mail it in or drop it off. I found my key to the mailbox. For those of you who know, I put it in one of those special secret places. And it was really well hidden. So, but I did find it, and Wanda has had hers. So The mailbox is secure. You can also bring it by during the week. Wanda and I are here throughout the week, not as often as we would be if it weren't for all that's going on, but we are here fairly often during the week. So let us pray over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 5, verses 18 through 25. Amos writes, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel?" This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Amos has a cheery message for us today, as you can see. Amos is always quite cheery. Amos is talking about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a concept that runs throughout Scripture. It's especially prevalent in the prophets. But it's a concept that really kind of starts in Genesis and just makes its way on through Revelation. The day of the Lord is a specific day, but it's also specific days as well. And what I mean by that is that the day of the Lord ultimately will be whenever God completely judges evil and renews creation. But there have been days of the Lord throughout history. Any time that judgment comes on a national scale, the Israelites considered that to be a day of the Lord. So when Israel was sent into exile, when Judah was sent into exile, those were considered to be days of the Lord. When Egypt was punished for keeping God's people enslaved, that was considered a day of the Lord. So this concept of the day of the Lord falls into what we call in prophecy the already not yet, meaning that the day of the Lord has already come and continues to come, but the true day of the Lord hasn't. And Keith has a video for us, if it will work, that explains it a little bit, if he can get it up for us. I think our sound's off, Keith.
It's a phrase in the Bible that religious people use, usually when talking about the end of the world.
Yeah, things like Armageddon or the apocalypse. You might be familiar with this image of Jesus returning on a white horse. He's got a sword to bring final judgment.
And everyone wants to know, how will it all go down?
So a lot of these images come from the last book of the Bible, but to understand them, you have to go back to the first book.
When the story begins, we watch God create an amazing world, and then he gives humans power to rule over it on his behalf.
But the humans are tempted by this mysterious, unhuman character who offers them a promise. You could define good and evil on your own terms and put yourselves in God's place.
Which is what they do. And the resulting stories are about the broken relationships and violence that results.
Yeah, this promise creates huge problems. Now everyone has to protect themselves and fight for survival, and they're all using death as this weapon to gain power.
It all leads to a story about the building of the city of Babylon.
Or in Hebrew, Babel. Everyone comes together to elevate themselves to the place of God. And God knows how devastating this could be. A whole culture redefining good and evil as if they are God.
So God confuses their language and scatters them.
Now from here on, Babylon becomes like an icon in the biblical story. It's an image that represents humanity's corporate rebellion against God.
And the next time we see it is in the story of ancient Egypt.
Yeah, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he feels threatened by these immigrant Israelites. He starts killing all of the boys, enslaving the rest.
And this is really evil.
Yeah, Egypt's like this bigger, badder Babylon. They take care of themselves at the expense of others by redefining evil as good. And so God turns Pharaoh's evil back on him. His pride drives him forward, and he's swallowed up by death.
Now, after this great deliverance, the Israelites sing a song about how God is their warrior who liberated them from evil.
And the Israelites referred to this moment as the day.
The day they were rescued from a corrupt human system.
And every year since then, the Israelites have celebrated the day of their liberation with this symbolic meal of a sacrificial lamb. It's called Passover.
Eventually, Israel comes into its own land, have their own kings, and they face new enemies.
So that past day of the Lord, celebrated every Passover, begins to generate hope that God will bring the day again to save Israel from new threats.
Now, out in the hills was a sheep herder named Amos.
He was appointed by God as a prophet to announce shocking news to Israel, that God was bringing another day of the Lord against his enemies, and this time the target is Israel.
What?
Sadly, Israel's leaders had also redefined good and evil for themselves, resulting in corruption and violence.
So God's people have become like Babylon. The oppressed become oppressors. Babylon seems like a trap no one can escape.
And so the day of the Lord comes upon Israel. They're conquered, taken captive into exile. And from then on, Israel suffered under the rule of continuous oppressive empires.
This is the story Jesus was born into.
Yeah, in his day, the oppressive empire over Israel is Rome.
So, is Jesus gonna confront Rome? Take him out?
Well, no. Jesus saw the real enemy as that mysterious, unhuman evil. The evil that's lured Babylon, Egypt, Rome, Israel, all humanity has given in to evil's promise of power. This is what Jesus resisted alone in the wilderness when he was tempted to exploit his power for self-interest.
But he didn't. And after that, he started to confront the effects of evil on others.
Yeah, he started saying that he was going to Jerusalem for Passover for a final showdown to confront the evil of Israel and Rome by dying.
Dying? I mean, that feels like losing.
Jesus was going to let evil exhaust all of its power on him, using its only real weapon, death. Jesus knew that God's love and life were even more powerful, that he could overcome evil by becoming the Passover lamb, giving his life in an act of love. And something changed that day. When Jesus defeated evil, he opened up a new way for anyone to escape from Babylon and discover this new kind of power, this new way of being human.
Okay, so something changed. But the power of evil is still alive and well, and we keep building new versions of Babylon.
Right, and so the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, points to the future and final day of the Lord. It's when God's kingdom comes to confront Babylon the Great, this image of all the corrupt nations of the world.
Yeah, this is it, Armageddon, final judgment. How is Jesus gonna finish off evil?
Well, that's not how you'd expect. In the Revelation, the victorious Jesus is symbolized by a sacrificial bloody lamb. And then when Jesus does arrive in the end, riding his white horse to confront evil, he's bloody before the battle even starts.
Pre-bloodied? That's a strange image.
Yeah, it's because Jesus isn't out for our blood. Rather, he overcame with his blood when he died for his enemies. And the sword is in his mouth. It's a symbol of Jesus' authority to define good and evil and hold us accountable when he brings final justice once and for all.
And so, in the meantime, the Day of the Lord is an invitation to resist the culture of Babylon.
And it's a promise that God will one day free our world from corruption and bring about the new things that he has in store.
Thanks for watching The Bible Project. This theme video is one of many that we make, and you can watch them here on our YouTube channel or on our website.
We're a nonprofit and we're crowdfunded, which means that you can help us make the next video. You can learn more and help us at thebibleproject.com.
So there you go, the Day of the Lord. It runs from Genesis all the way through Revelation. I think it's interesting that the liturgical calendar had Amos's prophecy on the Sunday after Election Day. I don't know if that was intentional or not. Maybe it was a coincidence. But I don't know if you guys know, this election was pretty divisive. More people showed up to vote for this election than they have in maybe ever, but certainly since we've really been counting. And still, even with all the people showing up, it's still close, and there's still legal challenges that are happening, and there's still people who are fussing, and you know, they've declared a winner, but maybe it'll change, and it's just kind of, some people are not happy, some people are very happy, some people still don't care. I think, though, the reason that the liturgy happened to have this passage on this Sunday is because God wants to remind us of something that we sometimes forget. As Christians, we are in the world, but not of the world. We forget that sometimes. We live in a great country. We do. Absolutely, we live in a great country. We are more blessed than any country that has ever existed in the history of humanity. People come here still to this day, even with the problems that we have, to find a better way of life. And many people do find a better way of life. Even the poorest of us are wealthier than the vast majority of the world's population. I know it doesn't seem like that if you're one of the poorest of us, because you live in a wealthy nation, and so, you know. But there are people in many nations right now that would go to one of our low-income housing neighborhoods and say, man, you live like kings and queens here. But what do we hear at election time? And what do we hear after election time? Well, now that the choose whichever party happens to be in power, are in power, America doesn't have very long, right? That's what we hear. That's what I keep hearing. When President Trump was elected, all of my more Democrat-leaning friends just knew we were going to have nuclear holocaust. With Biden being the presumptive winner, all of my more Republican-leaning friends just know that we won't be a country in 4 years. And so what we do in these instances, whenever we have lost something, we start proclaiming the judgment of God. We start proclaiming the day of the Lord. But we do it oftentimes with glee. We say, well, they may have won, but God's going to judge them. That's what Israel was doing. We're Israel. Yeah, you know, we broke some laws and stuff, but we're Israel. God loves us. They forgot the proverb that says that a good father chastises his child because he loves them. They forgot that sometimes punishment comes to children first, right? Most people in here have children or grandchildren. If you don't, you've probably watched children at some point in your life. And you know that it's bad form to, let's just say, go into Walmart and spank someone else's kid, right? That will usually, even if the kid deserves it, that will usually get you into a little bit of an altercation with somebody, right? But, at least here in the South, if a parent spanks their kid, we say, boy, they needed it, I was about to do it, but, you know, because we have in our mind that punishment from a loving parent is about helping someone be better. It's not about hurting them. But Israel said, day of the Lord's coming, finally going to wipe out all of those heathens, establish this throne, Israel's going to rule. And Amos says, why are you happy? The day of the Lord's not a day to look forward to. The day of the Lord is necessary. The day of the Lord is important, but it's not something to look forward to. And you want to know why? Because the day of the Lord will come for you first. So I entitled my sermon, Now What Do We Do? I entitled it that before we knew who was going to win the election. Because I knew that whoever was going to win the election, somebody was going to be mad, and they were going to go into doom and gloom mode. And people were going to talk about all this horrible stuff, and some people were going to talk about judgment and wrath and all this stuff. But what does God say to do? He says, love mercy, love justice. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. I always get Tina Turner's Rolling on the River whenever, stuck in my head whenever that I read that passage. So if y'all see me dancing in my high heels, I don't wear high heels. So if you see Clayton dancing in his high heels, he's got some heels on for playing the organ. But no, what does Amos say? He says, don't look for the day of the Lord with glee. God doesn't even do that. God doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked. He says, instead, keep being the people of God. Be just, be righteous, love your neighbor. When we studied Revelation, I pointed out to people, a lot of people want to say that the rapture is going to occur and we're going to get out of the tribulation. Revelation doesn't seem to show that. Revelation seems to show that the church is going to be here even through the great tribulation, at least through part of it. And what does John tell the church? Be the church. We live in a great country. I love our country. I do. People, it's funny, I consider myself to be a moderate, and so conservatives think I'm a liberal, and liberals think I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of the service of the veterans that we will honor this week and that we honored here. I'm proud of the service of the active duty. I'm proud to call friends and brothers veterans and active duty, and sisters too. I prayed for President Trump. I prayed for President Obama. I will pray for President Biden. And I will not lose hope. Because, for one thing, our founding fathers were smart, and they said, you know what? We've seen what happens when you put all the power in one guy or one girl. So we're going to split it up a little bit. But even more than that, God is in control. Nobody becomes a leader of anything without God's approval. I know a lot of people are saying, because a lot of prophets said that Trump was going to win, a lot of people say, well, it's not over yet, and God's going to... Maybe so. Maybe God put Joseph Biden in there. Maybe God put Joseph Biden in there so they can declare him mentally unfit and Kamala Harris can be the new president. That's one of the other theories that go around. Maybe. But Christ is king. He's always king. He's on the throne forever. Every president and vice president we have ever had, every senator, every congressperson, every Supreme Court justice, every king, they've all gone away eventually. But Christ conquered death. And no one can take him off his throne. So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you. Pray for our country, pray for our leaders, especially the ones that we don't like, whoever they may be. But trust that Christ is king, no matter who is in office. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we pray for President Trump, that you would be with him in what may be the last days of his presidency. May you grant him humility. May you grant him strength. May you grant him wisdom. May you grant him leadership. And Lord, for our future president, we pray the same things. But in all things, Lord, may we be Christians. Amen. I hope everyone has a communion packet, I guess. I have mine up here. We will prepare our hearts for Holy Communion by doing our responsive reading. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. May you take those blessings and give them to all you encounter, remembering Christ is King, and he is with you always. Amen. You are dismissed. Go in peace. Amen.